Lamentat Amanala, 39A1, top of the page.
Top of the page. Abba Menugah Shalson said, if you have tsaras, afflicted stones. Now, remember, when you have a house which is has been confirmed to be a Menugah house, you actually destroy the house, and then you take, and those stones are Asar Bahanah. Now, if someone went ahead and converted, he has in the bottom here, how you produce lime from limestones. It's in footnote number 2. Lime is created by lime burning, i.e. by heating limestone in a kiln to very high temperature. So we're discussing tsaras afflicted limestone that was reduced to lime. Okay? So if you did that to these stones, so now, first of all,
maybe they're good.
Are they no longer tamei? So it says, it's tani olam mitumasam. Some say that they're purified. Then it's like Purim Kadosh is Baal Khan, you know. They're not going to be tamei. They're not going to be tahar. So it could be that they're tahar. Could be that they're tamei. Now, what about are they mutter bahano? So man, they're more olam mitumasan. If you hold, they no longer tamei. So harel mutaris, they're going to be permitted, right? They go hand in hand. That's the Gemara tries to say, that the thing, that the association between Tumah and Hanah is one and the same. So then the Gemara says, no. Could be, it's possible that even if they're Tahar, you'll still be Asar Bahanah, because the Pasuk says, Tsaras Mam Eres, and the word that's missing here is He, that it is, and it is, Lashon He, it is, means it stays that way, right? Tain bo me'ero v'al tehanabog. Place a curse on it and derive no benefit from it. Something you can't benefit from.
What would be the nafkamina? In other words, if let's say it's tahar,
yeah,
but it's
asar bahanah.
It's asar bahanah.
What's the nafkamina? Whether it's tahar or not?
Practically, how would that ever play out?
I mean, whether it's tamei or tahar is negea helpas tuma, whether you touch it or not, not whether you're nana or not.
So you can touch it, but you can't be nana from it. Right. So you have to destroy the house. Yeah, that's right. So I'm saying it's not going to affect the house, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So the house is gone.
We're talking about where you put this in a kiln and you heated it up to very high temperature. All right, that wouldn't be possible, right? Okay, next. Rabavu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Calling us Rafin. Remember, in Temura, there's a list of things which are Nisraf, and there's a list of things which are Nikbar. So all the ones that are burned, Ofron Mutra, like we said this yesterday, repeat it again, the Ofer is Mutra. Remember, we said because the reason is, Nasas Mitzvah, so once it's burnt, so now the Mitzvah burning has been done, and the result in Ofer is Mutra. Chutz Meif Rabo Machmas Avodah Zarah, that's the exception.
That would be in stem with the previous.
Right. So regarding, it says over here in footnote 9, by Irani Dachas, it says, V'sarafta ba'esh es ha'ir, es kol shol ha'kalil, v'yidbak v'yalkam u'm menachirim, right? Even after the burning, you're still not allowed to have any hanah. So you see klar, that the pasuk asks it, but no, even after the shreifa. Ha'asar rabkiya by Yosef kumi rabbi yachanon, hari afar ha'bayas. There's the ash of the stones of the saras afflicted house. Hare eno ba machmas avodah zarah. Doesn't come from Avodah Zarah. And yet, you're saying, right, you're saying it's still going to be Asar Bahanah. Right? Yeah. Adam or Asar. So why are you saying that all Nisraf and Ofron is Mutar, except Avodah Zarah? Here I have an example of the same thing where it's Taka Asar even afterwards.
Saras.
Saras.
Now that's not Ba-Machmas Avodah Zarah, but it's Ba...
Whatever it is, it's one of the Nisrafim, and yet it's also, is it really Nisrafim? Does it say that it's Nisrafim? I don't know. It's a funny thing here, you know. But by Avodah Zarah, it says that you're going to go ahead and Sarafta by Eish HaSa'ir by Yoni Dachas. It says it's up here, Sreifa.
There was a special room, wasn't there, by, where do we learn it? What Misrafta? The
I don't know.
Is it true that Taras is just very similar in the sense that Taras is, you have to get rid of it. That's the whole reason you take the house.
There's no chiyuv sreifa.
Destruction. Forget it.
Yeah, but then we have no kasha. We're trying to ask a question. Kohan Esrofin Ofron Mutter. That's like I told you, because it's Nasas Mitzvah, so meaning that there's a mitzvah Shreifa, and you've done that mitzvah.
What's the comparison?
So why are you asking a kasha from Taras? The Gemara's going to really, in the footnote, I think it says it also. The Gemara notes, look at the top of on 39A2 in the brackets, it says the Gemara notes that although Rabbi Yochanan limited his ruling to items that must be burned, the Gemara is justified, this is bothering the Gemara, this question, right? It's justified in asking a kasha from the ash of stones of Taras afflicted house, which is not in that category, right? Because it is obvious that Rabbi Yochanan did not mean to restrict his ruling to items that must be burned, for an object of idolatry, which is the exception, is also not subject to burning. In other words, yes, Yirnei Da'as is subject to burning, but normal Avodah Zarah is not. It's only right. The Sarat Esa'ir Ba'ish is a special thing by Yirnei Da'as, but by if a person bow down to an Asherah tree, there's no fear Sreifa on the Asherah.
But
there's no fear to destroy it. Correct. That's what he merely meant to exclude things that must be buried. Okay, so
that's the Gemara's
third. So the answer is a Malay Shan Yehid, excuse me, Titza Netitza. The Gemara's answering is a little different. The Gemara's making a Gzeirah Shava between the word Netitza by Tsaras and the word Netitza by Avodah Zarah, which means that there's a comparison between the two parshias, just like by Avodah Zarah, there's a din Sreifa, and there's a din of, I'm sorry, din that the offer is also even after the Sreifa. So too, it is by Tsaras. Okay.
It really is the same thing as they're saying that they both have the same the
Tsaras. Tsaras. Yeah, but I'm saying, but in terms of the Avera, it's completely different, right? Okay. Next, Mishnah. Mi shohi lachavili tilsim shal kloya karam yidolka. So if a person has fenugreek, our favorite thing, I looked it up again last night to remember. What fenugreek?
A lot of that fenugreek,
you know. At the CM we have on Seder's Ram, Yitzhak Shem, I hope that we'll have some fenugreek there. Yeah, get some color pictures. It'll be really great. Tilson. So you have these bundles of koyakam. So you have bundles of this tilson. I'm not going to use the word fenu because I don't like it. So we'll use the word tilson, the Hebrew word. The person has bundles of tilson, and it's aser b'hanah because it grew in koyak karet, which is aser b'hanah. So what do you do? The sarvu b'idolku. So it says you go ahead and you have to burn it. The sarvu b'cherim, and if they get mixed up, who on idolku? They all have to get burnt. The Ivei Reb Meir, right? This is a famous Reb Meir that we had before. It's l'shitasim nachamal, right? It's bottle 201. The same sheet that we've had again. Now the Mishnah explains Reb Meir Shita. Finally, we get an explanation. Something which is customarily sold by count is always prohibiting the mixture. As opposed to the Chachamim who say, there's only six items that prohibit the entire mixture, in which they fall, Rabbi Kiva Imar Shimon, that there are seven items. Now, what's the difference between the Chachamim? It has to be not customarily counted, but it is always counted. That's the Shita of the Chachamim. Remember that difference.
Because there's a Chiyuv to count?
Not a Chiyuv. If there's no exception to the rule, I mean, I don't know about it. I don't know. How do you think about an egg? There's an egg. And the egg is always counted, right? Always. It's always sold by the dozen or by the half dozen or the two dozen. It's never sold one at a time. Except what?
Except when it's scrambled.
Yes. And they also, they have the single boiled eggs that they sell at the rest stops. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They actually have an OU on them. I don't know whoever. I never met anyone that dared to buy one and eat it.
So what if it's a month or two old?
What do you say?
Vacuum pack.
Your wife did it? She lived to talk. She lived. She did. Wow. That's when you ran out of things to buy in the rest station. Okay, so that's the machlokas. Okay, the kamahi chavila. How much is a chavila tolson? Says if you have chavila tolson, then it's also hana. So that, in other words, you need to have chavil in order to make it a bundle to make it significant. What is the amount? How many in a bundle to make significant? What, 45.
25.
Wait, you would say 25. Oh, he looked ahead. 25 stocks, but there's
a... Do you ever buy 24 Tilson? No, 25.
You want to know something? The bag that they're selling on Amazon is like a full bag of seeds. It's actually quite large.
Fenugreek, yes, it's a big day of sale on Amazon.
Omer b'yayna, arba minhain mitah. That four of the stalks have to be strong enough to support a bed. Actually, it says to act as sideboards of a bed. So that's pretty strong.
Sounds appetizing.
People eat that stuff?
So it says here, when a bundle of fenugreek, look at 19. When a bundle of fenugreek contains 25 stalks, and four of those stalks are capable of serving as sideboards for a bed, then it's classified as something that is sold by count. I looked at the picture. It's really hard to see, but they do grow on a stalk. There's a stalk, and there's leaves, and on the leaves there are these seeds, and it's the seeds that they're harvesting. But that's the way it is. I'm going to shut this off because I'm getting sick of looking at myself.
Right? Is it like a bean?
Yes, it's almost like a little bean. Yeah, it actually looks when you look at the picture on Amazon, the bag looks like chopped up peanuts, like little chopped up peanuts. That's what it looks like. What? Yeah. So that's the picture of it. But you know, what can you do? Yes, this thing with napkins. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So let's see over here. What are we talking about now? The Mishnah said that a mayor would say that which is customarily sold by count is prohibited. The Gemara quotes a machlokes about his opinion. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokish. Okay. Chanam, the very mayor, I saw the Dvar Mekachin. One says a mayor holds 10 things on Mekadesh, meaning that there's a din of rove in the Torah, but there are 10 exceptions. Okay? Let's see.
If you're an exception to rove, then if you're a miyad, you're not bundled.
Yes. Rabbi Yochanan, let's see, look at 20 in the footnote. It says over here, this is a little complicated. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish dispute the proper version of Rabbi Meir's opinion in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan maintains the correct reading is as it appears in our text, es shadarko lihimonos, that which is exclusively counted. According to this version, only foods that are never sold uncounted are significant and impervious to nullification. Okay? Rish Lakish's version is kol shadarko lihimonos, that which is commonly counted. When it's sold. When it's sold in units. According to this version, even foods that are only sometimes counted are significant. Okay? So, you have, again, so Rabbi Yochanan holds it's exclusive. It's always counted. Right? So, what kind of food? We decided it's always counted. We decided, I think eggs is a good example. And something that's sometimes counted, let's say, for example, apples. Sometimes they count apples. I don't know. Apples are sold by the bushel. Yeah, I have a hard time with
corn.
Corn is always by the dozen.
Corn.
Yeah, unless you buy a bushel.
Corn on the cob, you can buy as many cobs as you want. But it's counted. Yeah. Okay. I can't think of exact. Examples right now, but that's the idea. So our Gemara is saying that there are 10 such items. Mm-hmm. These 10 items, he says what they are here on the bottom. They include the six listed in the next Mishnah, which even the Chachamim agree are not subject to Bittul. They also add to the six the bundle of fenugreek of our Mishnah, that's seven. The garment dyed with orla dye, that's eight. The garment in which a sit length of orla dyed thread, that's going to be, right, nine. And that the garment in which a sit length of wool from either a firstborn or a hair of a nazir or a firstborn donkey was woven, that'll be the tenth. So those are the 10 items. Okay, those 10 items are the 10 items which are never bottled. So that's the first one. It's Chai Omar. And this, the other one said, this will be Rish Lakish, the Rav Meir called Brahman Kachem. There aren't 10, right? In other words, if you hold it's exclusive, so there are only 10 items that are exclusive. And if you hold that it's, customarily sold by count, then it could be anything. So there's no limit to the list. So that's the machlokas over here. Amid Beis. Rav Yaakov Bar-Acha Amar Shmu Asa Masnisa Plikal Mandi Amar Dvei Meir called Rav Mekashin. So I have a Mishnah which contradicts the one that said that he holds all items are prohibited in which they fall, even if they're at times sold by count. The same time, it says the Mishnah over there. There is where to? It's the Mishnah Kalim. Now, he has an introduction here in footnote 2. The following introduction is necessary to understand the upcoming halacha. Here's the introduction. In general, an inanimate object that is not a food is not susceptible to tumah unless it is a utensil. If a utensil becomes unusable, it loses its status as a utensil. Right? So what we're saying here is normally something that's not what? That's not a not an oichel has to be a kli. In order for it to be a kli, it has to be usable. When does it cease to be usable? Okay. When a hole, which is the size of a pomegranate, appears in it, and that's what makes it a rimon. Rimon, whole thing, yeah. Pomegranate, an average-sized pomegranate will pass through the hole, and it's not considered usable.
That's a big hole.
That's a pretty big hole. And the Mishnah discusses what size pomegranate must be used. That's the Mishnah discusses that. Now, let's take...
But if it was broken, a broken knife is not a kli.
The rule is... There's a machlokes tanan whether it's usable. Like if I had a kli before that held wine, and then it broke to pieces, and one of the pieces has is concave, and there's it can hold some wine still. So that piece, maybe that might still be tamei. Others say it has to be me'ain the malacha that it did before. Others say it doesn't have to be. This is all details. Look, Lord Masech to Kalim, get back to me. With what the things that you learned, it'll be really wonderful. I can't wait to talk to you about it. So now, here we have a Mishnah that's going to contradict the Mandi Omer that says, Rav Meir said, his halacha, even if it's customarily counted, even though it's not exclusive. Here, the Sina Tamon, Lama Huskuru Rimoni Badon, the pomegranate that the sages said were referring to in connection with Tumah, contaminated utensils is neither small nor large, but of medium size. So in what regard were the pomegranates of Radon, Rimoni Badon, in other words, these are Rimonim from a place called Badon. Why are they mentioned? Sheyuhu Mekachin Kol Shehin. If you had a forbidden pomegranate, an orla forbidden, right, of Badon, if that fell into a pile of other permitted pomegranates, then it would prohibit the entire mixture in any amount. Obviously, these Badon pomegranates were very, very high quality and were sold individually, right? Only pomegranates of Badon prohibit an entire mixture. Other pomegranates do not and are nullified in 200 to 1. They're very of Meir, and that's Rav Meir Shita. So right there, stop, right there, you have a contradiction, right? It's only the specific special Rimoni Badon, even though other pomegranates are sometimes sold by count. So according to the Rish Lakish, according to the second Shita, it should have been included in Rav Meir's list of things that would always not be bought. That's the stira, right? I'm Rabbi Huda, Lehuskru, Rimoni Badon, Machatzire Geva, The leaks of Geva were also not mentioned. Elishu Mas'asim Vadei B'chomakam, that regardless of where you buy them, if you buy them from an Amoritz, it's not a Suffolk, it's for sure, has not been had Meiser taken, because Badon had a lot of Kuthians living there apparently. So that's a side point. Ushar Kalari Moidim Dakal Himanos. The Gemara now finishes up the riot. Aren't other pomegranates usually counted? So yet your mayor holds that they would be bottle. Ella Rimoidim Badon Al Yeshahin Chavivin Darkon Himanos Shar Kalari Moidim Al Yeshahin Chavivin Ain Dakal Himanos. So now the Gemara tries to reject the proof. Now maybe you could say that Rimoidim Badon, they're chaviv, so they're counted. But the other Rimonim, they're never counted. So I made the assumption that aren't they counted sometimes? The Gemara is saying, no, they're never counted. So that gets us out of that question. So it's a question of Metzias, it's kind of like, it's not very sensitive.
That's your favorite.
Metzias question. Metzias question. That's it. Okay, let's go on. Halacha 5. Now we're going to have a list of the 6 things which even the Chachamim agree are never bottled because of the Chashivas. And here they are. Iguze Perach, the walnuts of Perach. Rimone Badon, the pomegranates of Badon. Chavi Yastuma, steel casks of wine. Chofos Trudim, leaves of beets. Chilchei Krov, stems of cabbage. Dalas Yvonis, Greek gourd. So it's very interesting. You know, all the time we've always seen in Mishnayos, through all the Masechtos, we've always constantly seen the reference to these foods, and we always, I always wonder, like, what do they keep picking on these foods, these weird foods for? The reason they pick them has now become evident to us now that we go into this Mishnah, because like Dov said, it's because it's chashev.
Interesting is if these are chashev, the other 4 that we just listed don't seem that chashev that they make the list.
Well, do you cast the one?
No, this list is chashev. Oh, the material of the sitch and the thread.
Right, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Dalas Yavonis in the Greek gourd. Rabbi Akiva says, Afkirka Shabbat Bias, that the loaves of a householder. Now, that householder thing that's going to be a machlokas later on, it's going to be more about this later, but we said that the loaves of a householder are larger than the loaves of a baker. Well, that depends whose house you go to. I mean, most of the little housewives that I've gone to for Shabbos meals, I mean, these little collars this big, you know. You go to the, you know, you go to the supermarkets. They got collars that are huge. What is it? That's true. That's true. In fact, there's no one there. They leave it out. They say, here, you make hamotzi on your own, and we'll see you next week. Rabbi Kiva, yeah. Haroi la'arla arla, haroi la'kaliyakarim, kaliyakarim.
At least you're invited.
Hotshot, get invitation. That which is subject to arla is subject to arla. In other words, this list, some of the things are Arla-type things, and some of the things are Kliyakarim-type things. So whatever the Isra that it's Negeya, that'll be what it applies to. Kol Tov, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.